Brian Stocks, good morning. You're on the air.
Morning, Corey.
Yes, please.
How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm well, man.
All right.
Yeah, I remember a couple callers before that was making out a case for why Mr. Conley should not be questioned a certain way. It reminded me of yesterday when Strakers Tenantry was making out a case of why he think that the Democratic Labour Party should not send anyone. And in listening to, you know, those two gentlemen and others, you know, it shows you why we Barbados are at the point we are at. Because we cannot gauge for ourselves where, you know, people are being bluntly insensitive and disrespectful to people who have given them the opportunity to represent. And, you know, we tend to believe that, you know, there are only certain people that should be judged by the law of morality and fair play, and there's others who should be given a freeway, you know, whereas, no, you can let him go, you know, don't be so harsh with him, you know, and the other guy you can chop his neck off. Because, for instance, we have a prime minister here who bluntly, and if I should use such a strong word, callously disregard the electorate of this country and make a decision that he is going to do what he please, how he please, because he, this is my opinion, it appears that he said to himself, look, I have pension secure, I have my mandate secure for my 10 years, I am sensing that the people do not want me back based on my feedback.
It's the 26th day of April 2018, just gone 13 minutes after 11 o'clock. The election date have been set for Barbados. General election date. Nomination day, May 7th. So we've got VOB fireworks starting May the 7th and political fireworks starting May the 7th. So keep it locked to your Voice of Barbados. We go back to the caller, the historic caller who have been with us. The caller just before the election have been called, during, and the first caller after the election have been called. Good morning and welcome back, sir.
Yes, Corey. Yes, Corey.
I hear you calling Prime Minister name and then look what happened. Now, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I'll say it's good riddance.
No, on that point, I want to say a big shout out to all the producers and producers coming. I know how your fingers are going to be going now in this election season. So you go ahead, though. Sorry, let's finish up your contribution. Let's get on with the program.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, Corey, if you're taking an exam for all your tenure doing exams as a student, do an examiner adjust an exam to suit you on preparation, or is it you know, that you're supposed to be prepared like any other student?
You're supposed to be prepared. There's some, like when people use these type of examples, because there's exceptions to the rule. Sometimes some persons may need, you know, a little help here and there, may have a disability here and there, and some adjustments will be made. So there's exceptions to all
correct,
the rules, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But generally, yeah.
Generally so, speaking, it's supposed to be fair right, and balanced yeah, across the board.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So the reason I asked you that simple question is because if you're going to say to any producer that he's supposed to ask a person questions that accommodating to them, then those people are not fit to represent anybody. Because as far as I'm concerned, you have to understand that the producer's asking you something that the fella on the other side that is listening do not have the opportunity to ask you. You understand what I'm saying?
I think once you, as I say, once you preparing yourself for offer, you may not have all the nitty gritty, all the national security files and for certain figures and so on. But generally, you should have an understanding, because you cannot come and try to represent or run a country that you know nothing about or very little about, because your policies, your approach, everything will be skewed. And this is not time to learn on the job. It just isn't. So go get your act together and come again. So thank you, caller, and congratulations. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, I want to first commend that young man, for keeping the peace with the annoyance to the kite, and for you for highlighting it. I know now, I guess with the announcement of the day, that would change the whole content and character of everything that has to be said. But even with a change of government, if there is going to be a change of government, as you said earlier to another caller, there's a lot of work to be done in Barbados. And we have to understand as a people that we have power that lies within us, and we are craftsmen of our fate, and we can't always look to government to solve all the problems, because we live within families, within communities, and we make up the society. And to have these changes within the society, the changes that have to take place within each and every one of us, within our families and within the communities. Now, for years, Carol Moore has been calling for a quieter Barbados, a quieter society. And I guess that is something that this, having that young man in the program, has highlighted.
I just want to correct something. He's in his 60s, right? And how I know that we were making the point, and I want to use this to strengthen Carl Moore's campaign and your points, right? I off air was saying to my producer Ronnie Clark and the guest that I must apologize, because as I was young, I used to hear people complaining about these kites. I used to be like, well, whatever. But he was saying when he was young, he used to do the same thing. It's just when he got into his 50s and 60s, he realized he couldn't bear it anymore. It was very, very difficult on him. And that's why he said that we need to be sensitive about each other. It's not just about us and how something makes us feel, but how does it make our neighbor feel?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But overall, not within the whole society. It mm-hmm. is respect for ourselves, for others, a respect for authority. And we have to understand, too, that some of the solutions, we have to get together and find some of the solutions to some of the problems we're having within our communities. Years ago, there used to be something called community organization, whereby you look for the influential people within the community and you got together. You might have had assistance from the community development, and you did things as a community. Some of the, you know, we have a way of saying the government. We always look into the government, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that we have to learn that we have to tackle some things at our level too.
Correct.
And with
and that's where the balance comes. I'm sorry to cross you, but there's some things that the government must do. There's certain things that I'm agreeing with you. We cannot relieve the government of all the responsibility. There's certain things in relation to law, legislation, regulation, yes, and so on they have to do. And there's some that we can do, and the community organizations are the best place to facilitate it.
Right, because there's a role for government, there's a role for us as a people. And if we want a better society, we are the people who help build the society. So we have to understand that even if we do get a change of government, it isn't that things are just going to change overnight. There is still a lot of work for every single one of us in this society to do. If we get together in our communities to look at how we can tackle and solve some of the problems, it can also help bridge the intergenerational gap, because there are a lot of influential people within the communities, whether they're retired persons, different professions, that we can utilize skills. We can make appeals to even some of the same people who are the nuisance within the society, within the community, mm-hmm. and we can look for resource persons in the community, police, community development organizations within the constituency mm-hmm. council.
But make systems work.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of systems there, you know?
This is the crux. This is how it should be done. And we will realize we be able to solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So I hope that with the announcement of the date, people recognize that you have power within you, and your power, it is like disposing of your income and not exercising your spending power. We have to take back some of our power, and recognize that we need to use our power to implement change, to make demands. So therefore, your vote now, don't just give it away just because somebody's saying something. Stop and think and examine and look down the road and see, is this really beneficial to me, to my society, to my community, or what? Right?
Listen, I can agree with you more. I think very powerful and wise words that you put here, but I am sad. I am sad because a lot of Barbadians that I speak with don't think that we've reached there yet. We believe that the authority and the ability to lead is among the 16, those 16 in cabinet, not even the 30 in parliament. So we don't believe in the 275,000 and our ability to think. So we got democracy is seen as the mockery you see and not democracy where you have democracy for 5 seconds every 5 years. And that's why I think it is important you make that vote count. I want to thank you, ma'am, for bringing those words of wisdom to us here on Don't Harass Stats. Good morning and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
My name is Elizabeth Senior, and I have run brass tacks before, apropos the loud kite flying. I was nervous when I rang here. However, just to put it in a very succinct way, for the last 6 years, I've been endeavouring to get this stopped. And I've been racially abused, I've been physically abused, and I've been verbally abused because there's a direct correlation between a loud kite flyer and their behaviour. I run the gauntlet, I know who they are. This is the whole point. I know who the majority of them are, I know where they live, and I know their names, and I have photographs of them. All of which, of course, have been provided to the police on countless times. I've been to the police countless times. I've written to every Right Honourable that there is in Barbados. Not one has ever responded. I've spoken to the Commissioner of the Police, everybody connected with this. However, we are now, as some people may have noticed, that there was a thing in the Nation, Sunday Nation, asking people to ring the police about these noisy kites because just individually or with a few of us, it's not getting us anywhere at all. And we are now going to try and arrange a meeting and get together for a cohesive approach to this. And the conclusion we've come to is that we're going to have to take out a private prosecution.
Right, I was just about to ask that. You're saying 6 years, and it sounds like you're now getting to the meeting stage. What have you been doing?
I've had lots of meetings.
Okay, what have you been doing? Don't you say cohesive meeting? But anyway, what have you been doing for the last 6 years? What are some of the things that you've tried over the 6 years?
Every time I ring the police, if there's not, before a Barbadian rings in and says, oh, this is our national habit, our custom. I'm not talking about normal kites, others, but we're talking about the bull kite, the whole sole purpose of which is to make as much noise as possible. They've got into a habit now of actually putting them up at night.
No, are we going to get back to that? Because there's a WhatsApp here that says exactly what you're saying. The part of the kite that makes the noise is not needed to fly the kite. No one wants to stop kites. We want to stop the noise. You can fly quiet kites. There's no excuse for not removing noisy kites. My specific question is, what are some of the things that you have done over these six years?
Okay.
What are the strategies? What have you deployed?
I've reported this to the police, I would say, over the last 6 years, at least 150 times. Yes, absolutely, because my life is a nightmare. It made me actually ill. I just wanted to get the hell out of Barbados. And because people feel frustrated, this is the point. If you do what you can, the first question I'm asked when I ring the police is, where is it? Well, it's over so-and-so. Well, how do you know? I said, well, because I've just seen the cord. I'm quite good at finding them now. Even one day, he said, well, I said it's in his backyard. And the policeman said to me, well, just because it's in his yard doesn't mean to say it's his. At that stage, I decided that it was time to put the phone call down because I have to say, apart from a few constables, I've also come across very offensive behaviour in Black Rock Police Station. And I've written to, as I say, every Right Honourable, the Environmental Health. I'm in touch with Carl Moore. I've been...
You've written who?
To every Right Honourable in the country.
Every Right Honourable. Yeah. I think there are two of those.
I've had interviews and written to Oral Williams, the Deputy Commissioner of Police. I have, just before his death, he was amazing. Inspector Bowen came around here. He actually made me cry, you know, because he was the first one who said, this has got to stop. So sadly, a couple of months later, I'm afraid he died. But he was amazing and very supportive of me. What else? I've written, I've rung, I've got photographs. Mm-hmm. I've appealed to some of the kite flyers that have been in my home. They've had drinks. I've said, look, blah, blah, blah. It's a complete, utter waste of time. The only action was taken was during one of the threats, the assault. The young man was arrested, and he was found guilty of making threats. However, ironically, when I went to the kite flying, it's called Blackwater Block, near St. Leonard's School, he was there, still flying them. As I say, what more can I do? I've got photographs, addresses, and why aren't any of them charged under the Public Nuisance Act? It would only take one. Believe me, word gets around.
Because well, you say you're no to the point of getting a prosecutor. I remember on the chat someone was saying, why spend your little money on a lawyer for a kite? And it was explained to them, it's not for the kite, it's for peace. That's what you really have to. That's what you're actually going after. You're not going after a piece of
exactly.
thing with plastic and bones. You're going after.
I've got photographs
peace.
Of a kite over 6 foot high.
Mm-hmm.
6 foot. And say,
no, I've experienced it. I've been over to a friend and it was like, how do y'all do this? Y'all have a young baby. It's the three of y'all in here. How do y'all live? The thing sounded,
yes.
the windows were vibrating at points. So
I
was like,
yeah,
that kite is a pretty
you're
good
poorly.
Kite. But
it's absolutely outrageous. And as I say, the approach of actually sort of, because they know me, they know my name, they know me. As soon as I go there, it's you, the kite lady. and I've risked life and limb and my health. Excuse me, to get this sorted out.
But I don't want you to leave without giving Brass Tacks listeners an understanding of how the assault came about. Because when this guy left here off air, I was really trying to encourage him not to get himself into any problems, because I believe he's at his breaking point. And what I want to avoid, I want to bring about peace for you who were experiencing that nightmare. But what I want y'all to avoid though is the assault and the, to me, because that makes it even worse, yeah? How did the assault actually occur?
Well, this was on the 23rd of December in 2011. We were having dinner and, excuse me, we couldn't hear ourselves think. And the perpetrator doesn't live far from me, so I went and knocked on the door, which is what you do in England. And the person came out, not the kite flyer. I could see him, but it was his father. Anyway, I just got a load of to the police. Heard nothing. They lost the report, they told me. This was about 3 months later. Fortunately for me, I had a copy, which I provided them with. However, again, nothing was done. Eventually, when I insisted on something being done, they said because you were on his property, he'd every right to assault you.
You were told that?
Yes. So we're not going to make charges.
But no, the charge is not determined there. That is really for a judge, a magistrate to determine. Although
yes.
You should not be told that.
I was told that by BlackRock, please believe me.
But you
judged.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. But anyhow.
It has. And 2 years ago, again, I was really, really insulted. Again, I made a report. I was spat at. Put bicycle thrown in front of mine, trying to unseat me on the way to Eagle Hall. Again, absolutely nothing has been done. I don't blame people for not going to approach them because they're aggressive. The trouble is with me, I'm not really scared because I'm determined to stop it. I think everyone has a right to live in peace and quiet, whether I'm a non-Barbadian or not. I pay my taxes and I live a peaceful life. And I just want to help people. It's my sort of altruism. It's not just for myself. It's for everybody who suffers. And I know they do. So we did put a notice in. There's going to be another one this Sunday asking people to ring the police. However, we've changed our tactics because it's not making any difference whatsoever. So we're going to try and arrange a meeting of fellow sufferers and get together and take out a private prosecution.
And do you ever approach the... Your MP, the Attorney General, anybody higher up the line?
Everybody.
Right.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah, you said you wrote to every right honourable, every honourable.
Yeah, the only reply I got was from the British consulate saying how sorry they were. I didn't get one squeak from anyone else. Nothing.
Hmm.
Okay, so I just want to, if people, we haven't actually, we're going to meet next week and we're going to try and arrange a meeting, get together, hire a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it'll only take one or two and the word will get around because it has to stop. And there is a law, it's the Public Nuisance Act.
All right, ma'am, I want to thank you very much. I want to wish you every success and everyone with every possible nuisance out there that they can actually handle, they can actually think about. So thank you very much. This is the Thursday edition of Don't Brasta. The party lit. Which party is lit? We don't know. We're going to find out. Brastocks, good morning. You on the air.
Good morning to you, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thanks. And I know how you are.
I'm doing wonderful, Corey. I made this announcement sometime late last week in my post because of the information that I had received. But you know, the naysayers have cried me down all the time, but I take the licks all the time because my back broad leg always says, well, Corey, this morning, right, I call and I'm happy that the general elections has now been announced because there's two things I want put on the table this morning in the event that you may have the People's Parliament for next Tuesday, right? Now, as we speak, Corey, there are still some public servants in this country who have not been paid, even though that a roster date for the payment of salaries and wages for public servants in this country has been put in place since the beginning of this year. Now, in the 21st century, Corey, because this spawned both governments, so I am not pinning down the Democrat Labour Party only to this, but I want to say this morning, that since the general election is announced, I would hope that an item that would appear on your People's Parliament would be, what intention would a government seeking office have in correcting these challenges? The reason why I'm saying this morning, Corey, is that late fees are charged for persons who do business financially with financial institutions. And if through no fault of a public servant, that their salary is paid late, and they incur late fees from the financial institutions, Corey, the late fees is borne by the public servant and not the government. And it is not the fault of the public servant. You understand the point I'm making?
No, you understand.
I believe, Corey, that in the 21st century, we cannot be having these types of issues. Where persons subbing in various ministries for persons who are either on study leave or persons who have...
But let me ask you this. Do you understand what the issue is? Do you understand what the... Wait, what causes this? Because I don't. I honestly don't. Someone would have to explain it to me because as I understand it, the money is digital. So the money is voted. It is made available. And so the payment is made through a computerized system. So is it the tardiness of officers? Is it the timeliness of electronic allocation of money? Because that is what it is, through the treasury and so on. So I got it explained up to that level. So I don't understand what is the delay most times. So somebody from within, it is easy for us from without to complain, but do you understand what the issue is that causes these delays?
But Corey, I'm happy that you're going there, you know, because this is the point that I want to make. I'm so happy you're going there. Because that if for any reason that government recognizes approaching, let me say, a date is set for the month of April as the 25th day for payment of salary and wages for public servants, and that there is sight of any delay as it relates to these salary and wages, I believe that some person has a fiduciary responsibility to communicate this to persons who are now holding up the Corey. Persons are living in this country from paycheck to paycheck, and that the day when they push the card and the ATM machine and recognize that all zeros are still there, mm-hmm. Corey, you understand the sadness that people leave banks and institutions on the face, Corey. We cannot allow this. I'm saying that if this is happening, somebody needs to say there will be late payments for the month of May, there will be late payments for the month of April, but we cannot be going along, Corey, and 6 days and 12 days after payday, some people are still wondering if they're getting paid, they're here to hold on. You can't wait. You don't got the patience, Corey. They cannot work in the 21st century like this. With technology the way it is now, Corey, I believe that we can do a lot better than this.
These situations usually seem very, very, very simple. Too simple not to be solved overnight. So either we are missing something or people are just being tardy. So we need to find out which one it is so that we can solve it. Please move on.
Let me, Let me move on to my other point. I don't want, I'm going to touch your point.
No, move on.
Good.
Move along.
Now, income tax returns. I believe you have a computer before you, Corey.
Yes, I do.
Good. Now, you can Google, because I think it should be online. The Income Tax Act, Cap 73. Now, Corey, the Income Tax Act make it pellucidly clear that if I file my tax returns late, that there's a penalty for so doing. And that if the government repays me my returns late, that there's interest payments that should occur for the late payment. Now, the Minister of Finance and the Director of the Barbados Revenue Authority has made two pronouncements. That there are two tranches of $5 million that was now given made available to the Inland Revenue for the paying of income tax returns for as far back as 2013. What I have not heard from the Minister of Finance, Corey, is what interest payments does he intend to pay for the long delay, because it's...
That is prescribed by the law.
No, but it's better to clear the act. Because, Corey, if I refuse to file my income tax return late, I have to, and if I don't pay it up front, it will be deducted from whatever is owed to me in returns. Therefore, if the government becomes disingenuous to believe that they can hold on to my money because that I was late in filing, then I think it is only fitting and it's only fair that if the government help individuals in this country for as long as 2013 till today as we speak, that the government have a responsibility to tell the people of this country if they intend to pay the interest on the money accumulated from 2013 up to 2018. The act is clear. Go and read it, Corey. The act is clear. Mm-hmm. And you can, any person who feel aggrieved by this can challenge the government in court, and there's no way that they will lose, because the government has a responsibility to pay the interest payments on the money that is outstanding for persons who would have made their contributions under the Income Tax Act.
To me, the real issue and the real problem is that, and I put this to you, how many Barbadians do you believe will actually follow through with that?
But you see, Corey, again, right? You see, when we have leaders, Corey, then the government can't be acting high-handed by issuing threats to the extent that if you do not file on time, and this is the close-off date, and if you come after that, $500, but you're threatening individuals about a $500, you understand me, for late registering. But at the same time,
you understand the point of the question I was asking you?
Corey, I understand.
Okay.
I understand. The point that you're making, Corey, is that a government, Corey, who is not insensitive, you understand me, and who does not disregard the laws of the country, having held the people of the country out for such a long period, should say, listen, I cannot give you all of the interest, but we have recognized that there's interest that would have accumulated from 2013 up until today. What we intend to do is, since the interest is calculated at 5%, we intend to only pay 1.5%, 2% or 3% on the reduced imbalance for that which we have owed you, Corey. But you can't decide that you're only coming full stop and giving me from 2013 that and no more, and then believe that you have done me a favor by coming and pronouncing it with a half smile for your face, Corey. Because if a man jump over your wall, Corey, and rob you of the three breadfruits that you had on the tree, and brought back all three the night and said, Corey, these are the breadfruits I took for you, you can't tell he thanks, because he didn't take them from you in the first place.
I get the point. You can still tell the times because you ain't had to bring them back. So, but I do get your point. You can't try to, as I said, buy people with their own money. It just ain't right.
But Warren Sabney says about that. You can't buy people with their own money.
It is what is due. It is not a favor.
So, point.
Points taken. Thank you very much. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Stats. You're on the air. I want to read this WhatsApp here, especially from, you know, these persons say, man, you don't read the email, you don't read anyhow. We can't read all. I want to remind WhatsApp persons, you know, we just cannot read all. This one says, good morning. Once again, the Democratic Labour Party has refused to send anyone to the People's Parliament. What does that tell you? It tells me that they do not care. They are taking the electorate for granted. Or they know that they have done so little that they do not want to be criticized. Isn't it not clear to VOB by now that the invitations to the DLP should stop? Are y'all just there to be used by these people when they're good and ready? Do not invite them anymore. Simple. Let them say what they have to say. VOB's defense will be solid. The way I see it here is we invite them, we invite everybody who comes, who shows up, shows up. That is what it is. Who comes to represent, they will represent. Brass Stacks, good morning, you on the air. Good morning, remember to listen to your telephone and not your radio. Good morning and welcome. Down to Brass Stacks, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Good morning. I am calling pertaining to a matter where I went to the Morris Bayer Polyclinic on the 17th of April, 2018. Unfortunately for me, I got there about 4:30 because I didn't have an appointment. I sat there, and I went to the clerk, to the front desk, and he sent me down to have my pressure and that tested. Unfortunately for me, I sat there until about minutes to seven, and I didn't hear my name called. I saw persons that came after me were going in. So I got up and I went to the nurse and I asked her a question. I said, I'm sitting here, and I realized that people came after me and you were seeing them. She said, what is your name? I gave her my name and she checked. My name was not in the system. She asked me to go back to the clerk and let him put my name into the system. I went there, and the gentleman did apologize. He said that he missed my name. So he put my name into the system. I went back to the nurse. When I went back to the nurse, the sister came, the sister nurse, she came, and she said, you are here to see the doctor? I said, yes. So the nurse that was about to check my pressure said, told her that my name was Miss. She said, well, you can't see the doctor. At minutes of seven, you know, you can't see the doctor. You would have to come back there tomorrow. I said, but I sat here from 4:30 until minutes of seven only because my name was missed. And now you're telling me that I can't see the doctor. I had some documents in my hand. She said, what are those documents? Well, I had an MRI done when I had an accident. So I just walk with it just in case. She said, what are those documents? I said, it's the MRI report that I had done. So I just walk with them. She said, you had an accident? I said, yes. She said, which doctor, where did you go? If I went to the Queen Elizabeth or where I went? I said, I know, I didn't go to Queen Elizabeth. I went to San Diego. She, well, you have money. You have money. And the other nurse that was with her, whispering, her money ran out. I mean, that irritates me. It really, really irritates me because, mm-hmm. I mean, that is discrimination, really discrimination. And I try to avoid because I know going to these polyclinics, they have a lot of people to deal with. So I said, my husband is a taxpayer. So I decided I will go there. And to have that kind of treatment, it really turned me off. I did not, she told me, come back the next morning. I did not return because I prefer not to see the faces.
All right. Fair enough. I hope that they're listening to you and we can actually effect some type of improvement in this situation. Remember, we got to take the regional roundup in a few. I'll read some WhatsApps in between. So this one says, Corey, I know there is a reason why your sessions are so instructive. Those large genes. And it takes one to know one. Don't mind, we don't always agree, even with 20 years separation. As a New Yorker, it's concerning to see that law and order execution is a challenge in a small place like Barbados. Barbados needs to adopt the broken window approach to law enforcement. Indeed, this strategy reduced murders in New York City during the 90s and a metropolis of the 13 million to per capita numbers below Trinidad and Jamaica last year. Fix the small things so they don't become large, uncontrollable things. Go large. This one says, Corey, I am confused. If the union is telling the staff not to go back in the Supreme Court, who is going to remove the files? Those files and documents are confidential. Only workers should be dealing with them. Someone who is not familiar can mix up everything. And yeah, that's a serious problem. This one says, it's about the kites one here. Good morning, Mr. Lane and guests. I live in an area where kites are flown regularly around Easter. The noise mostly comes from one or two of them. What I find is that people leave where they live and come and stake out a kite around somebody else. As far as the comment about planes are supposed to be flown. That we cannot help. We don't have to fly kites, especially noisy ones. Simple solution, fly kites in the day, not in the night. If you monitor your kite and realize it's noisy, take it down. Thank you. And I thank you for that. And I thank all who have called so far. It is time to fly out of here. More of the Thursday edition of Don't Hear Brass Talks when we return.